Okay, Shalom Aleichem, Rabotai. Welcome. We wanted to go through the role of Pirsum HaNes in the mitzvah of Chanukah lighting. Okay, we don't expect to do the whole thing. It's a short amount of time, but just to get some ideas about it. We know that the mitzvah of Chanukah is a very, very unusual mitzvah in that it has a double aspect. Besides the simple, nice mitzvah of lighting Neros Chanukah, there's a second aspect of the mitzvah, which is the Farsein, the mitzvah. Very rarely do we find any other mitzvah where a person who does a mitzvah has to try to do it in a public setting. Putting on tefillin, eating matzah, saying Kriya Shema, everyday mitzvahs people do all the time, have nothing to do with trying to have other people be aware of the individual's performance of his own private mitzvah. Because the relationship between man and God is a personal relationship, and publicity is in general very dangerous and antithetical towards religious experience. So this is a very unusual mitzvah in that the Chachamim who created the mitzvah back in Bayesheni introduced pirsum, that the mitzvah should be done and should have a public dimension. I think that towards the end of this year, I'll try to give some ideas why the Chachamim did this. However, what we want to do in the bulk of the year is go through a technical analysis, basically, of how the pirsum hanes plays itself out in the mitzvah. The Gemara in Shabbos and the Chof Aleph Hamid Aleph, our first Ma'ariv Makom, has a machlokas between Rav Huna, Rav Chisda, and Rav. The two main protagonists are Rav Huna and Rav, concerning the question of whether one can use oils and wicks which are not so reliable for Chanukah. Now, these oils and wicks we know are possible for Shabbos, but Me'ein Madlikim, there's a whole gamut of items which are not allowed to be used for Neir Shabbos, or in general lit on Shabbos, Gzeira Shemiyata, because these things are not reliable, and he might do Malacha. So, would they be allowed for Chanukah? So Rav Huna said, reading on the top, Am Rav Huna psilos u'shmanim shamu chachamim, ein madlikim ben b'Shabbos, ein madlikim ben b'Chanukah, ben b'Shabbos, ben b'Chol, Am Rav Huna, my time adu Rav Huna kesavar, kofsa zakukla. So as for our concern, we just have to read that. So he says that you should not use those kinds of wicks, because if the light of Chanukah would go out, we'd have to light it again, and since these oils and wicks tend to go out, so we don't want to use them. Then the Gemara says, a couple of lines later, Amila Amireb Zeir Amirav, Silos Ushman Nisham Chachamim Ein Madlikim Ben B'Shabbos, Madlikim Ben B'Chanukah, Ben B'Chol Ben B'Shabbos. Rav said, you can use these pour wicks and oils on Chanukah, even though they're not allowed for Shabbos. I'm Rabbi Yemir, my time of the Rav, Kosava Kavasa Ein Zakukla. If the lights would go out, you still would not have to light them again. So since you wouldn't have to light them again, so we don't care if it's pour wicks. Now at this point in the Gemara, it seems that the machlokas between Rav Huna and Rav is exactly this issue. Is Pirsum HaNes in general part of the mitzvah? If we say that the Pirsum HaNes, to make sure that other people see it, is part of the mitzvah, so then you would have to use wicks and oils which are reliable, which are, so therefore, Shabbos things which are also on Shabbos are not allowed to be used for Chanukah. But if we say that Pirsum HaNes is not part of the mitzvah, this is just to make a ma'aseh hadlaka, so I can use things which are not reliable. Then, go all the way down toward the end of that paragraph, three lines before the end of the paragraph, the Gemara asks a question and gives an answer. Kofsa ena zakukla, is it true that if the light goes out, you don't have to light it again, it's just a mitzvah hadlaka? V'rimin, I'll ask you a question. Mitzvasa, it says in the Braisa that the mitzvah is it should burn from sunset until people stop walking in the street. My lab, the kufs of hadamah. Doesn't this imply that it has to burn the whole time? It says that the mitzvah is to burn from sunset to be walking in the street, which obviously seems to say that if it goes out, you should light it again. So how can Rav say kufsa ain't a zakukla? So the Gemara gives two answers. Lo, that's not to be implied. The fact is, if you light the Hanukkah candle and it goes out, you're yotze. But what does this b'risa mean? It means the ilo adlik madlik. It means that if you didn't light it at shkiyas hachama, you still have time to light it until tichle regel menashuk. It doesn't mean it has to burn all that time. It's a zman. It's a zman for the mitzvah. The mitzvah doesn't have to be done precisely at shkiyas hachama. The Chazal gave us a period of time till tichle regel menashuk. Inami, or else lishi'ura. It's not talking about a din that if it goes out you have to light it again. It's telling me a din of shir. I have to put enough oil, or it has to be a big enough of a wax candle that it could burn this amount of time from shkiyas hachama to tichle regel. However, if I lit it and it goes out, I do not have to light it again. Therefore, I can use oils and wicks, which are usher on Shabbos, may be used for Hanukkah. That's what the Gemara says. Now, this makes us reinterpret the whole sheet of Rav. You cannot say Rav just has a mitzvah hadlaka like any other mitzvah, a private mitzvah. Do it yourself, and no one else has to know about it, because if there would be no halacha of pirsum anes at all, according to Rav, then why did the Chachamim give us a zman of Meshetishka Chama Shetich L'Regel Menashuk? Why should that zman have any kind of a role in the mitzvah? Second of all, why would I have to put enough oil in, a shear, to have it possibly burn that amount of time? If pirsum anes is not part of the mitzvah, so why do I have to make it accessible b'chlal to the public? And later on, the Gemara says you should light it al Pesach Pesach b'chutz. You should put it outdoors. The Gemara never said that according to Rav, you don't put the candle outdoors. So we have to definitely say that even according to Rav, who says kofsa ain't a zakukla, he still feels that the mitzvah has pirsum anes as part of the mitzvah. That pirsum anes determines where you put the candles, it determines when you light the candles, it determines how much oil you put into the cup of the candles. So there is a din of pirsum anes. However, it's not as strong enough of a halacha of pirsum anes for us to say kofsa zakukla. According to Rav Huna, who says kofsa zakukla, the pirsum anes is so important that if the candle goes out, you should light it again. And that's why you have to use very reliable wicks and oils. Pasul for Shabbos, pasul for Hanukkah. According to Rav, there is a din of pirsum anes. The pirsum anes is necessary for the zman of the mitzvah. Pirsum anes is necessary for the shear of the shemen. Pirsum anes is necessary for the mukam of the hadlaka. However, it doesn't make me require oils which are pasul, which are reliable for Shabbos. I can use oils which are pasul for Shabbos. It's a very strange Gemara. The Gemara, and we pass them like Rav. So our sheet is strange. Why is the? How do you understand this pirsum anes halacha of Rav, and how is there a machlokas between Rav and Rav Huna, since they both agree that the mitzvah has hadlaka as well as pirsum? So why did Rav weaken the halacha of pirsum to this level? He didn't eliminate it completely. He has a very important halacha of pirsum anes. And where is that different than Rav Huna? So first of all, I want to analyze in general the Gemara is a very strange halacha according to Rav. On the one side, the Gemara says according to Rav, which we pass our shita, we have to understand our own shita. On the one side, the Gemara says you have to put enough oil in for a shear. So the Rif says it's a half an hour worth of oil. Most people have these little Hanukkah candles which they say burn a half an hour. I don't believe it, but all right. The only time I've ever found them to burn is they're frozen in the freezer and then you light them. But the plain from the box, they don't burn half an hour. So the shear we need. We need a shear. We have to get the right zman. So I want to understand. I'm allowed to take, according to Rav, according to Halacha, wicks and oils, which are also for Shabbos. Why are they also for Shabbos? Because these things flicker, go out. Shabbos, Gzeir, Shema, Yata. You might do Malacha. But if these things are going to go out, I can still light them for Hanukkah. So where do I have a shear of a half an hour's worth of oil? Let's say I take, the Mishnah says, chelev mevushal, chelev she'ena mevushal. I can't take animal fat because it's not a reliable source of steady light for Shabbos. So I take some animal fat. I say it's worth a half an hour, but it's not worth a half an hour because it goes out. It's a gzeres shemayata. So what are we saying? That you have to have a shear of shemen, which gives me a half an hour worth of oil, but on the other side, I can take psilos ushmanim, she'en madlikim ben b'shabbos, madlikim ben b'chanukah. En madlikim ben b'shabbos means they're not going to last. So what kind of paradoxical opinion does Rav have? You have to have a shear of shemen, but meanwhile it doesn't have to last, because it could be shemen she'en madlikim ben b'shabbos. It's mamish pelish and kamo. It's a very difficult sheet. We pass it like this. So I think that the pshat is like this. I think that there's a statistical analysis going on here in the Gemara. If I take shemen or psila, which will not last a half an hour, it's pasul, because it doesn't have a shear. If it lasts a half an hour, it's kosher. Meanwhile, it's something which could go out, and it's also on Shabbos. So what does it mean? I think the pshat is like this. In statistics, something which is called, I think they say, you have a confidence level which is very reliable. It's enough to prove something scientifically, make experiments, and things happen a certain way, enough time, so scientists say, you know, this is a scientifically proven fact. So it's what they call a confidence level. And that doesn't happen 100% of the time, but always, once in a while, things go wrong. If it has, let's say, 95% of the time, a certain thing happens over and over again, 95% of the time, so that's considered to be, you can come in, that's considered to be statistically reliable. 95%, 99%, some scientists are very mad, it would be 99%. But 100% no. So if it's 95%, so let's apply this to the Gemara. If something is 95% reliable, 95% of the time, it's going to burn a half an hour. So then I could write it on Shabbos also. Because once in 20 times it might go out. Or let's say it's 99% reliable. Then it can light this on Shabbos too. There's no such a thing as a candle which burns 100% of the time. So let's say 99% of the time, something burns properly. So it's called Psiros Ushmanim Shemavikim Ben B'Shabbos. And that's considered to have the full shear. Let's say it doesn't last statistically, it doesn't have a 99 or 95% reliability rate. Let's say its reliability rate is 51%. 51% of the time, this thing will burn a half an hour. If I make wicks, candles from this product, it'll last 51% of the time a half an hour. 49% of the time, it's going to go out. Then, am I allowed to light such a fire for Shabbos? No, because then Gzeira Shemayata. In other words, since the rate of Sichsuch, whatever the Gemara calls it, of flickering, is a very high rate, it doesn't have to be a rove. It's a miut hamatsui. It's a miut hamatsui of that it's miskabe, it goes out in a sizable minority amount of times, then Shabbos I can't take it because Shabbos it'll give me trouble too many times. However, but since it's 51% of the time it lasts a half an hour, does it have a shear shemen for Hanukkah? Does it have a shear of shemen for Hanukkah? Such a wick and oil. I cannot light it on Shabbos. Why? Because it goes out too many times. It's a miut hamatzui. It doesn't have a 95% reliability rate. It's below 95%. Therefore, Shabbos, it's too unstable for me to light such a thing on Shabbos. However, I want to know, does this cheftza have a shear shemen for Hanukkah? Can I say I lit something which has a shear of shemen? So we have a rule. The rule of Chol HaTorah Kula is rubo kekulo, hachem acharov. Since most of the time this cheftza will last the shear, it has a shear. Let's say the Cheftza is so unreliable that it goes out 51% of the time. Or it goes out 75% of the time. 95% of the time I light it, it doesn't last a half an hour. Can we say it has a shear? No! If it goes out 95% of the time, you can't say it has a shear. If it goes out 80%, it doesn't have a shear. So where do I draw the line? At 51. If 51% of the time this thing will go out, I take a statistical survey, I test 1,000 candles, and 51% of the time it goes out before a half an hour, then this candle does not have a shear of shemen. So it boils down to statistics. If something is, that's called statistically certain, 95-99% of the time, then it's so good that it's Mablikim Bam, Bain B'Chanukah, Bain B'Shabbos. Bain B'Chol, Bain B'Shabbos. If it's between 51 and 95, so for Shabbos it's Aser, because Gzeirah Shemiyata has a Miut HaMatzui of a problem. Therefore, Gzeirah Shemiyata, you're not allowed to get into that situation with Rabbanan on Shabbos, it's Aser. However, for Chanukah, according to Rav, it has a shear. If it's below 51% reliability, if most of the time it'll go out, then according to Rav, it's possible. So where's the machlokas between Rav and Rav Huna? The machlokas in Rav and Rav Huna is between 51% and 95%. If you have a cheftz of Shemen and Psila, which has most of the time it's reliable, but it's not very reliable, it's not certainly reliable, but only most of the time. So Rav Huna says you cannot use this because since you're not allowed to light it on Shabbos, it's possible for Chanukah. You have to have so much certainty of the Pirsum HaNes that it will be achieved that you have to have wicks and oils which are extremely reliable. Steady wicks and oils, 95-99% reliability. If it's less than that, Rav Huna says possible for Chanukah. According to Rav, who says Kofsa ain't a zaka klah, and he says you're allowed to use psilus u'shmanim she'ain ma'likim en b'shabbos. So his opinion is, if it has a 51% reliability rate, which gives it the shear of chatzi shah, then I can light it for Chanukah. That's the machlokas. You have to understand what this machlokas is about. Gemara says that it depends. And another question: if kofsa zakukla, if the candle goes out and have to relight it again, that's Rav Huna's opinion that you have to take psilus u'shmanim shemadlikim ben b'shabbos. But according to Rav, who says kofsa ain't a zakukla, if it goes out, you don't have to light it again. Then I can take psilus u'shmanim she'ain madlikim ben b'shabbos. Without fashteing, what's the connection between kofsa zakukla, kofsa ain't a zakukla, and the question of the reliability of the Cheftza? How reliable does the Cheftza have to be? Depends on Kofsa, Zokos, Eina, Zokokla. So I would suggest like this. Everybody agrees, both Rav and Rav Huna agree, that this mitzvah is a very unusual mitzvah, that it has, besides the personal mitzvah, which is always a mitzvah, a person does a mitzvah himself, there's an aspect of piersum, of involving the public. People have to be aware that I did this mitzvah. The machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav is kofsa zakukla, kofsa eina zakukla. What does that mean? According to Rav Huna, kofsa zakukla. So if he lit it once and it went out, he says light it again. Kofsa, if it goes out, zakukla, light it again. What's pshat, light it again? I lit it the first time. And I use, according to Rav Huna, excellent wicks and oils. I use things which are even mutter for Shabbos. So I did a very good hadlokas ner Chanukah. But then, a little baby, my 3-year-old, decided to play and knocked over the candles. So it went out. So do I have to light it again? So Rav Huna says, light it again. Rav says, no. What's pshat? A mitzvah hadlokah was done. I lit a perfect ner Chanukah. I did a perfect mitzvah sadlaka. But what did I not fully achieve? I did not fully achieve the pirsum hanes, because I should have gotten a half an hour. I didn't get a half an hour. Did not get a half an hour. So Rav Huna says, light it again. Kofsa, zakukla. What does it mean? According to Rav Huna, pirsum hanes is a machayev b'fnei atzma. I already did the first hadlaka kedasu kedip. I was makayim mitzvahs hadlaka. My personal mitzvah to do hadlakas nechanaka, I did. I took mamish, the best psidus ushmanim, shemadlikim ben b'shabbos, and I was madlik. But then later, the baby knocked over the candles. So a mitzvah hadlaka I did. But what didn't I do? I didn't do the full pirsum of the nes. So he says, zochaklo, light it again. Because according to Rav Huna, pirsum on nes is a machayev to do a mitzvah hadlaka b'fnei atzmo, even without a mitzvah hadlaka, the basic hadlaka, I already did that. It's a separate mitzvah pirsum on nes. The pirsum on nes is so important, it's machayev a hadlaka shniyah. It's as a koach of a machayev, it can create a chiyuv.
Why isn't the language that a chiyuv instead of a zakuk?
Zakuk means chayev. Zakuk means he has to do it. Zakuk is a very strong Russian. Zakuk means he has to do it. Zakuk is zakuk means chayev. Zakuk means he's obligated.
Is that stronger than
a chiyuv? It's even a little bit stronger than chiyuv. Zakuk is a very strong Russian. Oh, so then you make a bracha, right? Then you make a bracha. Beis Halevi says, according to Rav Huna, second hadlaka, you make a bracha, but I'm not sure if you make the bracha of lahadlik ner or just the bracha of she'asa nisa. Could be, according to Rav Huna, the second time, you're doing it because of the chiv of pirsum anes, maybe just say she'asa nisa.
Actually, I can see why it's a zuk, it's a chayah, because zuk means you have not completed what you started. If you didn't complete what you started, you have to finish it.
Good, that's good.
But see, then I have a subject where you need to make a bracha, because if it's just... If it's
right, you may not make a bracha. There's a big shaila in the Achronim, the second hadlaka of Rav Huna,
whether you make a bracha.
That
would be exactly why it's a zakuk.
Right. Because the machlokus is, and the three possibilities, it could be there's no bracha, because it's a hemshech of the first hadlaka. So just being mamshech, the first hadlaka, could be a zakukla. Could be that it's a... you do make a bracha, but just she'asa nisim, because that's the machayev. So just she'asa nisim. Or you make both brachas, because once you're already doing it, you have to have a chalos of a hadlaka. And since you have to have a hadlaka in order to create the pirsum anes, so then you make a hadlik nes shalchanukah too, because it is a ma'isa mitzvah of hadlakas nes. You might make both brachas.
Separate mitzvahs, basically, right?
Yeah.
That's what it's two brachas.
Right. I'm working, I'm simplifying it as simple as possible, that it's two separate mitzvos, and that each is machayev by itself, even though they're intertwined. They are intertwined. I'm not saying they're completely distinct, but they can stand on their own legs, so to speak. So even though I did the first time a full mitzvah hadlaka, but I didn't do the proper pirsum anes, so there's a new machayev of pirsum anes as a separate mitzvah to make a second hadlaka, and that's why I say the question is one bracha, two brachas on that second hadlaka. So according to Rav Huna, pirsum anes is a machayev, it creates a chiv. What does Rav say? Rav said kopsa eino zakuklo. If I lit it and then the baby knocked it over, I don't have to light it again. How does Rav say? Because he says, Eina Zakukla. What does it mean? Since I fulfilled the mitzvah hadlaka completely, the first hadlaka with the first nair, the Hakim hadlaka was complete. For Pirsum Anes, just to get Pirsum Anes the second time, without any hadlaka, without any mitzvah hadlaka, just a kiyum mitzvah Pirsum Anes, that's not machayiv, that can't create a chiv. The mitzvah of Pirsum Anes is intertwined with the hadlaka. It's part and parcel with hadlaka. So, in the hadlaka, there's a din of Pirsum Anes. There's a shir, there's a zman, there's a makam. All of the din of Pirsum Anes are there. But it cannot create a chiyuv b'fnei atzmo. If I did hadlaka rishon and I was yotze, I mitzvah hadlaka, according to Rav, I do ein zakuklo. To get the Pirsum Anes, I don't make a second hadlaka. That's what Rav says. Because Pirsum Anes doesn't have a koach of being a machayiv. It has a koach to be a tnai in hadlaka. In mitzvahs hadlaka, there is a tnai called pirsum anes. I have to be madlik at the right zman of pirsum anes. I have to put it in a place, bachutz, to give pirsum anes. But it's only as a tnayim conditions of the mitzvahs hadlaka. If the mitzvah hadlaka was completed properly the first time, and then somebody came and knocked it over and went out, so mitzvah hadlaka was finished. To have a new chiyuv, mitzvah the pirsum hanes, that pirsum hanes should be machayev, that Rav says no. Pirsum hanes is not a machayev. Pirsum hanes is only a tnai in mitzvah hadlaka. So the machlokas Rafun and Rav is the role, the technical role of pirsum hanes. According to Rav Huna, pirsum hanes is a machayev, is a mitzvah b'fnei atzma, it's a separate mitzvah, separate chiyuv. And if I didn't get it properly, I'd do it all over again for pirsum hanes. And according to Rav, pirsum hanes is a tnai in mitzvah hadlaka. So in the first hadlaka, I have to fulfill various conditions of pirsum hanes. But if mitzvah hadlaka was fulfilled properly with all those conditions, I put it in the right place, the right zman, the right shear. I had all the time of pirsum hanes. But I didn't actually achieve the pirsum hanes because somebody came and knocked the candle over. So according to Rav, it's not a machayiv b'fnei atzmo. It can't create a new chiyuv. It can only be a tnai in the original hadlaka. But I did the original hadlaka properly. So according to Rav, that's why he says, kofsa ein hazaka klo.
Unless you're trying to reserve what went out for another day, what's the position? I mean, why you say, okay, not hazaka klo, it's not Shabbos, you can relight. It's still the zman of pirsum. Relight.
Oh, that's a shaila in the Achronim, whether according to Rav, who says you don't have to, could you do it as a reshus? Or is it just wasting your time? And the Gemara and the Shalmi says, if you're putter from something and it's a waste of time and you do it, you're considered to be a hedyot, an uneducated person. So I, as well as you, and I guess other people, sometimes you light the candles and then you don't know why. Maybe the wick was a little low, it was slanted, and after a minute or two, it goes out. And you have such a big yetzer to relight it. I want to relight it, but I don't want to be a hedyot. I don't want to be a hedyot. So when no one's looking, I relight it. So now how does the kofsa zokek law, for kofsa ein zokek law, machlokes, now go into the question of the statistical reliability of the shemen? That we said, that's the machlokus about psilos ushmanim she'ein madlikim ben b'shabbos, if madlikim ben b'chanukah, is a machlokus about how statistically reliable to get that half hour of shear should the shemen and the psilos be. According to Rav, it have to be very reliable, 95-99%. And according to Rav, be basically reliable, 51%. How does the kofsa zokeklo, kofsa ein zokeklo machlokus lead to the machlokus about the psilos ushmanim she'ein madlik mem b'shabbos for Chanukah? So yes, the Gemara says you need a shear.
It would be possible, presumably less than 50 would also be possible on Shabbos. In other words, you're making an afkamina between greater than 50 and less than 50.
Right. So that's the only way to explain the Gemara. There's no other way, because the Gemara says, according to Rav, you need a shear. A shear means it has to be basically reliable. Then the Gemara says, you can take things which are possible for Shabbos, which are not reliable. So what does it mean? So that's why it has to be basically reliable, but not totally reliable. That's the only way to explain the Gemara. The Rishonim don't explain it, but there's no other way. I can't see it. If someone has another pshat, I'm very happy to listen. But I thought about this a lot, and it's the only way I can figure out the Gemara. I have a PhD in engineering and statistics, so that's why. Something has to help you sometimes. Right. But I have a 95% confidence that this is the right shot. How does this? So, what's the connection between kofsa zokeklo, kofsa ein zokeklo, and the statistical reliability? So, I want to say like this: according to Rav Huna, pirsum hanes, we said, is a tnai. It's a tnai in hadlaka. According to machayev, it's a machayev. According to Rav, it's a tnai. It's like this: if it's a machayev, according to Rav Huna, if it's a machayev, means it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. So when you start off and you're madlik, you have to have a certainty you'll be mekayim that mitzvah. They wanted you to take oils which are certainly going to work for the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. So therefore they demanded statistical certainty. You should take oils ushmanim which are 95-99% reliable. You should not use things which are also for Shabbos. Because you have to, you're doing a mitzvah, you can't do a mitzvah with a rove. A mitzvah should be a vadai. So you should do the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. Vadai, and therefore you have to take Psilas Ushmanim, Shemadlikim Ben B'Shabbos, the best, most reliable oils. But according to Rav, Pirsum HaNes is not a Mechayiv. It's not a Mitzvah B'Fnei Atzma. It's only a Tanai in Mitzvah's Hadlaka. The basic Mitzvah's Hadlaka, B'Tanai Sheyachal Lios Pirsum HaNes. So there they required, they call a Shear, of certain reliability of getting Pirsum HaNes, but since it's a Tanai, but not the Machayev, only a Tanai, so the Tanai was a Rove. If Rove of the times you'll get the Pirsum HaNes, you fulfill the condition of Pirsum HaNes. So that's why the Gemara says, according to Rav, who says, Kofsa, Eina Zokakla, Pirsum HaNes is only a Tanai. The main mitzvah is Hadlaka. So if the hadlaka yochol or rov pa'amin tavi lepirsum hanes yesh kan shir, it's maspik for the hadlaka. It's a tnai of pirsum hanes. So that's why he said, good, you should put it in a place which could have pirsum hanes. Put it outdoors. Do it as man which could have pirsum hanes. However, you don't have to be certain of the pirsum hanes. If you have a rove, so you take psilos ushmanim, she'en madlikim ben b'Shabbos. It's not reliable from the Shabbos level, but it's reliable enough for mitzvahs hadlokas ner Chanukah, because the pirsum hanes, according to Rav, is nothing but a tnai, and as a tnai, as a condition, the condition means I'm basically confident, but not that I'm very confident. Since basic confidence is good enough, so that's how he interprets the role of Pirsum HaNes. Okay. Now, Tosfos here, number two, asks a question. The Gemara says that the machlokes between Rav Huna and Rav also applies to the light candles on Friday for Shabbos. And the Gemara, back up on top, my time of the Kosova Kovsa Zokikla, Umutal Ishtamesh Lioga. You're allowed to be Mishtamesh with the R. Since you're allowed to be Mishtamesh with the R, if you're going to light on Shabbos, Psilo Sushmanim, which are also for Shabbos, Mutal Ishtamesh means he might use it for a reading or other things, and then if it flickers, he'll fix it. So the fact that it's Mutal Ishtamesh could lead to the Gzeira Shema Yatzeh. So that's another reason Rav Huna gives, besides Kofsa Zokakla, besides Kofsa Zokakla, which in general requires very sturdy, steady oils, you can't take things which are not so certain, which have a miut of kibui, because Kofsa Zokakla, but on Shabbos, another reason, because Mutal Ishtamesh Deorah, so it's a Nisa Shabbos. And then the Gemara says, a few lines later, according to Rav, Rav says, since Rav says it can't be mishtamesh, you can do it even on Shabbos, there's no gzeir shemayata, because you're not going to use the candles for personal use, so therefore there's no gzeir, you'll fix it if they flicker. So Tosfos asks the kasha here, Vim toma minole l'rova d'sov rafun and mudo l'shtamesh d'yora, dumo doma ein malikim et b'Shabbos, why did Rav have to say that according to Afuna Mutal Ishtamesh Deora, it's a special gzeir of Shabbos? No, I can't use it because Kofsa Zokakla. I can't use these bad oils because of Kofsa Zokakla. Why did he have to say it's because of Shabbos? Shabbos anyway, it's like any other night of Hanukkah. I have to, according to Afuna, have very certain reliable oils. So Tosfos says that you're right.
Rav Huna
Taisa says you're right. Kavsa zakuk la is a reason all 8 days why you have to have very good oil. But according, but Shabbos another issur on top of the problem of kavsa zakuk la. Unreliable oils are not going to give me the right pierce of my nest, a contrafuna. Besides that, if I use unreliable oils on Shabbos Chanukah, I have another problem violating an issur Shabbos. The Rabbanan don't want us to use such oils because gzeir shem yatin is mutal lishtamish liyoh. That's the second reason. Comes along the Ramban, and Ramban says no, that Rav Huna only said kafsa zakukla b'nei chol. Shabbos, Rav Huna agrees kafsa eina zakukla, and that's why on Shabbos he had to give a different reason for the issur of shmanim shem alikim member Shabbos and alikim b'chanukah gzeir shem yatzeh mutal lishtamish liyoh. Because Shabbos there is no kafsa zakukla. As I thought the Ramban. Means even Rav Huna says kafsa zakukla Shabbos, he doesn't believe in kafsa zakukla. He needs a new reason. Mutal lishtamish liyoh gzeir shem yata. So what's this pshat in the Ramban? Ramban says a very balbatish thing, which really is hard to understand. He says, how could he say kafsa zakukla on Shabbos? You're not allowed to be machal Shabbos and light it again. No one's going to say if it goes out, light it again. It's Shabbos. So on Shabbos, he has to say kafsa ain't a zakukla. Since kafsa ain't a zakukla, you should be able to use bad wicks, but it's another reason why he said you shouldn't use it on Shabbos. It's always up to Ramban. So Ramban says, since Shabbos b'chlal you can't do another hadlaka, so therefore it's kafsa ein zakukla. Yeah, but it's still, you have to understand what does it mean in terms of the mitzvah. We explain that kafsa zakukla means that the mitzvah of pirsa manes is such an important chiyuv. It's mechayev b'fnei atzmo. So therefore, you have to make very reliable wicks and oils. So what about Shabbos? So Botai, a thing like this, and I saw that the Rav says it. We light candles Shabbos early. We don't light candles on Shabbos in the Zman of Meshetishka Chama Shetich Legam and Ashuk. So the question is, how does it work? There's a din of Mishatishka Chama Shetich Leregel Min Ashuk. You have to have the Zman of, let's say, even according to Rav, in the worst case, a potential of Pirsa Manes. Shabbos in the middle of the day. No one's outdoors. No one's looking. No one's home. Whatever. You light Shabbos in the afternoon whenever you feel like lighting it. So what's going on with the Pirsa Manes of Shabbos? So you have a couple of possibilities in terms of interpreting the Hadlok of Erev Shabbos. It could very well be that it's taka hadlaka for la'achazman. You light now, but the Rabbanu weren't a fix. They couldn't tell us to light on Shabbos because it's a malacha. So they had to come up and say light before Shabbos. So what are they doing? It could be that the Rabbanu made a new takana that I'm lighting early, but I'm not mekayim the mitzvah in the hadlaka of Erev Shabbos. I'm first mekayim the mitzvah later on. Means I'm, and the Chachamim allowed me to make a bracha basically for the future. Or the Chachamim created a new zman, that Erev Shabbos, a new kind of a mitzvah, that Erev Shabbos is a mitzvah's hadlaka without any person on this, because there's no one around. The whole shuk doesn't exist on Erev Shabbos. So, the whole thing is a new kind of hadlakas lechanaka. So that's apparently what if we learn the first way, that it's a din that you madlik before this man, for la'achas man. Then it has the same rules as the week. It has to be, so it should be the same kind of a shemen. Why should the shemen change? I just have a technical license and an obligation to do it early. But I'm not makayim any mitzvah at that point. The key mitzvah will take place later on. It'll be a regular key mitzvah, pirsa manes, after shkiyas lechama. So then I would have to use the same shemen as the regular week. But if it's a new mitzvah of Erev Shabbos, so and without any pierce of maness, so then I don't have to have good oils. I can just do a ma'isa hadlaka. I say kafsa ein azaka klal. So apparently this is the machlokas between Tosfos and the Ramban. According to Tosfos, it's a regular mitzvah of Hanukkah. Just technically it's done early, but the key mitzvah will be later on when there'll be pirsim on there. So therefore all the rules of Shemin apply to Erev Shabbos too. So it says that, and the Tosfos says kafsa azaka klal applies to Shabbos also. The Ramban feels, no, since they tell you to do it early, it must be that they made a completely different kind of a mitzvah. And that's why it wouldn't have the regular rules of Shemen, which have to do with Pirsa Manes, and you need a different reason of Gzeri Shemayata. Now there is a machlokas halacha l'mais, it's very negeya, in Mechaber and the Taz. This machlokas in Rav Huna is also machlokas in Rav, where we paskin, in Mechaber and the Taz. If the thing goes out before Shkia, Friday, lit Friday, you light early Friday, and the thing goes out before Shkia. Now we pass in like Rav during the week Kofsa, Ema Zakakla. But let's say it's Shabbos, and it went out before Shabbos started. Would Rav also say Kofsa Ema Zakakla? Mechaber says yes. Mechaber says even if it goes out on Friday in the afternoon, middle of the day, it burned for 5 minutes in the middle of the day. It's before Hadlokas Neir Shabbos. You didn't even light Shabbos candles. You already Yotze Chanukah. You don't have to light it again. That's what Mechaber says. The Taz says no. The Taz says if it didn't go till after Shkia, till after Tzeis, you aren't Yotze. You have to light it again. Even according to us. It's Machlokas Mechaber and the Taz. This Machlokas. According to the Mechaber, it's a new Zman. So I lit before. It's not even light early. Erev Shabbos is the Zman. Kofsa Ein Zakakla. You're Yotze the Mitzvah, according to Rav. According to Taz, it's not a newsman, it's a hadlaka lefnei hazman, yoyotze la'ach hazman. And if it went out early, like Tosfos, so if it went out early, the Taz says, according to us, you have to light it down. Okay, Botai, I just want to say one last little bit in Jewish, there's much more here, but why did the Chachamim put Pirsim HaNes into this mitzvah? So I said, 99% of all the mitzvah Torah are personal mitzvahs. Why is this mitzvah, the mitzvah Pirsim HaNes, to bring in the public? And it went so far to thanks to the Lubavitcher Rebbe itself, it's being lit in the Kremlin and the White House. So the whole world is lighting Hanukkah candles. It's unbelievable. So why is this mitzvah get such a public relations show? So there are a lot of different pshatim that the people who Darshanim say. But I just say one pshat, my own drasha. The Greeks, the clash between Jews and Greeks had to do with the view of the world. The Greeks see the world only in terms of the scientific parameters. You can test it, you can see it, you can observe it. All of this is reality. But to say that there's anything which can suspend the laws of nature, go outside the laws of nature, even the laws of nature themselves are created things, and that there's a world before, a world after, a hidden world, all of this they don't accept. So therefore, and the Jews, a lot of our religion, the basic parts of our religion are that this is only a temporary world. The real world is heaven, the world to come, the world that was. So we're just sort of passing through. We don't really think reality is so real. So that was the big clash. So the Nes, if there's a Nes, which shows that Am Yisrael has a Rabbono Shel Olam, a Borei Olam, who can suspend the laws of nature, is exactly what we want to tell the world is the way to look at the world. Don't look at the world the way the Greeks want us to look at, that we're bound by the laws of nature. No, you can do miracles. God does miracles. People can do miracles in nature, outside nature. People, Jews, everything is really a miracle. Everything is God's will. So that's why we want to publish the message for the world. Shkai.